from the campus of the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School. This is Work and Life on Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School. Here is Professor Stu Friedman.
Hey, welcome to Work and Life on SiriusXM's Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School. I am your host, Stu Friedman. I am thrilled to be back with you live. I've been away the last couple of weeks, but we are now live. It's Tuesday evening, so if you're listening Tuesday evening, we are indeed live coming from you from the beautiful campus of the University of Pennsylvania, and it is a gorgeous day here in Philly. I am an organizational psychologist here at the Wharton School. I founded the Wharton Work-Life Integration Project, which you should check out online. If you just Google Wharton Work-Life, you'll see our site and all the very interesting and useful resources there. What we are going to be talking about on tonight's show, I'll be joined in the first part with Nancy Vitale, who is the Vice President of Human Resources for Genentech, and she's also Regional Human Resources Head for Roche Pharma North America. This is a great company doing amazing things in the work and life arena, so we're going to be learning all about their secrets of success. What we do on this show all the time is try to bring you useful information about work and the rest of life that's going to help you to find a bit more harmony or integration among the different parts of your life, your work, your home, your community, and your private self. We come to you live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern and love to hear from you. So one way to connect is by Twitter, at Stu Friedman. That's S-T-E-W-F-R-I-E-D-M-A-N. You can also follow our station's feed, our channel's feed, which is always popping with really interesting ideas and information about our shows. It's Biz Radio 111. That's B-I-Z Radio 111. You can also just write email to me at businessradio@siriusxm.com. All right, I am not wanting to hesitate another moment. Let's get our guest on here. It's Nancy Vitale. I am thrilled to welcome her to the show. She is the Vice President of Human Resources for Genentech, and she's the Regional Human Resources Head for Roche Pharma North America, leading a team of nearly 200 human resources professionals that are dedicated to creating a great place for the organization's 14,000-plus employees to do their best work. Before Genentech, Nancy held high-level human resources positions at Gillette, at P&G, and at Deloitte Consulting. Nancy, welcome to Work and Life.
Thank you, Stu. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you here, and I know that you are also an alum of the University of Michigan. Do I have that correct?
You do. Go blue.
Go
Sorry
blue indeed.
For that.
Yes. No. That's where I got my PhD. So this is a Wolverine show we're doing here tonight.
All right.
Now, if you have questions, you're listening, we may have time for some questions about developing a better workplace from one of the world's leading experts in how to do this from the inside. Give us a call at 844-942-7866. That's 844-WHARTON. Nancy, so tell us, Genentech often lands on the best places to work lists. Let's just dive right in. What's the secret to your success?
Yeah, thanks for that, Stu. Well, first of all, let me just say Genentech, for those listeners who don't know, it's a biotech company. We make medicines to treat some of the world's most challenging diseases that people suffer from. This includes discovering, developing, manufacturing medicines. Mm-hmm. And this year, actually, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary. And one of the
Congratulations.
Secrets, thank you. Thank you for that. One of the secrets, I would say, to the success of being a best place to work for us goes to our culture. You know, mm-hmm. that is the secret sauce. And we've been dedicated to creating a connected, inspiring culture for the 14,000 employees that you mentioned who come to work every day and delivering on that mission to help people who suffer from serious diseases. We've been pushing scientific boundaries for almost 40 years. And given this, we're also aware that success as an organization is tied directly to engagement and resilience of our employees. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of companies talk about creating a culture that engages people and supports them and their resilience in the face of adversity and gives them the capacity to persist and to be creative. and diligent in getting the important work done. Let's drill down a little further on that, Nancy. And if you could say to our listeners some of the things that you do to ensure that you've got the kind of culture that really does have that kind of impact.
Sure, sure. And I know, you know, a lot of companies will point to programs and benefits and specific offerings. But I'd say, you know, the thing that is most meaningful to us is clarity of mission and purpose. It's actually one of the most fundamental components, in my opinion, to building a great place to work and a healthy culture.
I
and for us,
more.
People who can anchor to this notion of what is that mission, what is that true north, you know, this is for us, it's about what do we do now to create an environment to help these employees focus on creating, discovering, developing medicines that can treat individuals. And they feel passionate about that. Our employees absolutely feel passionate about the work that we do. You know, it helps them remain engaged, to find joy in their work. It's very much a part of the fabric of who they are, even in times of change and uncertainty. So for us, it's clarity of mission. It's always been focused on being science-driven, patient-centered. These are important pillars to our culture, and we know that inspires our employees.
You know, it's what's so interesting about that, Nancy, is that you demonstrated that in your first words to me in our conversation. We just met. I've learned something about you in the days leading up to this conversation, but the first thing you talked about was the purpose of your company and what you do. So it's clearly something, I mean, you're an executive and that's kind of your job to do that. But it was clear to me in the way that you spoke about it that you take this seriously and personally, and that it did seem to infuse your words with a kind of a sense of pride. I felt that.
Well, And I think no matter who you would ask, you know, you could ask any employee at Genentech, and I think they would point to that. It could be a manufacturing technician on the shop floor. It could be a scientist in the lab or an HR business partner from my team. I think that's what binds us all, is this community of individuals trying to deliver on our mission each and every day.
You know, it's such an important element of what makes for a culture that truly does draw on the passions and interests of people. And having worked in this field now for 30 plus years, I can recall in the mid 80s that many of the leading firms that were just in the vanguard of change in thinking and acting differently about work and the rest of life were in the pharma business. And it's in part for this very reason that there was a direct connection between the mission of providing, you know, life-giving services and treatments, with, you know, the kind of inspiration that people look for at work. So it's not surprising that you find that in the pharma industry.
No, I think you're right, and you know, for me, I've worked at Genentech almost 10 years. It's the longest I've ever worked any place. And I think that speaks to, you know, at just the personal level of connection that people have with our company.
So if I could follow up a little further and hear, you know, we have people listening who work in all different kinds of companies and some people who are executives in all kinds of companies across the landscape. So I'm curious to know how this idea, how you would see it applying to other kinds of organizations. But before we get there, let me ask, how do you make clear the purpose and mission in such a way that each and every one of those 14,000 people feels it like it's his own or her own?
Right, right. Well, I mean, it's clear in terms of the notion of being patient-centered. There's banners that greet employees in every campus that they go to, and in Genentech, we bring in patient speakers that are a regular reminder of why we come to work, you know, speaking to the employees about the impact that the medicines have had on them in terms of following the science. You know, our scientists are expected to publish papers and to share their research openly. And so there's clear evidence of what we do and how we keep those elements of the culture and the mission in front of the workforce.
Hmm. So you bring in patients who have benefited from your medicines
That's right.
to talk to employees, to talk to research scientists, to talk to HR people.
Everyone. In fact, every other year we have an event where anyone can sign up to attend, and we bring in about a dozen different patients who are being treated with a number of different medicines that we make. But many functions, when they have a town hall or a big event, mm-hmm. will bring in a patient speaker for that particular one. And it doesn't matter what function you're in. It's a long-standing practice that we have.
What an awesome idea. And it's one that must seem very natural to the people in your organization now.
Well, and typically there's not a dry eye in the audience, mm-hmm. because it is that, you know, going back to your comment, that emotional connection that people have, mm-hmm. when they feel that they're part of something bigger. They understand that their efforts are contributing to something bigger and having an impact on society at large.
Everybody wants that, and we know especially young people today are demanding that in their workplaces, and so you find organizations of all types, financial services companies, tech companies, manufacturing companies, all trying to do what you're doing, Nancy. So how do you, and I know this isn't your primary concern, but I'm really curious, and I'm sure many of our listeners are curious to know, how would you translate this kind of idea of clarity of mission and purpose through impact and significance of the work itself on, you know, the end user? How would you transfer that to other kinds of organizations where it's not so obvious?
Yeah, and I think going back to this notion of culture, you know, there's no right or wrong recipe for a great corporate culture. And, you know, for individuals maybe outside of the biotech or pharma industry, mm-hmm. who may not have that view, you know, of what it is as a patient that they're serving, I think going back to an understanding of, well, what is our specific mission, understanding the values, the customs, the creations, the achievements and failures of the different individuals within that organization that really do define the culture. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, companies evolve. Some of the lessons that we've had that I think might be applicable to other folks, mm-hmm. in other industries is, as a leadership team, to take a self-examination of what is the culture, what is the culture that you're aspiring to versus maybe what is the culture that people are experiencing in, mm-hmm. the day-to-day, and understanding what do you need to do to nurture the culture in the work environment. Mm-hmm. So instilling a mission that resonates with your people. I mean, what is the purpose that unites, you know, all of the employees together that make up a particular organization? Inspecting that culture for cracks potentially in the foundation. Where are we missing in terms of how people are experiencing the culture versus what we want them to experience? And for us, you know, a lot of that has started from the top. We've had conversations, multiple conversations at our executive committee about the type of culture that we want, recognizing that we also need to evolve that culture and rewarding, mm-hmm. employees for the behaviors that reflect the culture that we aspire to. So those would be the few applicable kind of lessons that I would say apply to any industry, really.
Absolutely, but not easy to implement. Let me just remind listeners, I'm speaking with Nancy Vitale, who's the Vice President of Human Resources for Genentech, and she's the regional HR head for Roche Pharma North America. But the idea of focusing in any kind of organization on why are we here, what do we stand for, what's the impact that we're trying to have on making the world better in some way, and being really super clear about that. And as you said, inspecting for cracks in the foundation, I think that's such a powerful and marvelous idea, but one that requires a serious commitment of time and energy to look at and to be, you know, willing to be wrong, or to find problems and to invest in not only finding them but trying to fix them. Most companies would find it difficult to sustain that sort of commitment. What drives your company to take that issue so seriously?
Well, I think it's a recognition and an acknowledgement, going back to your first question, what's the secret to Genentech's success? I think there's a clear acknowledgement, even, you know, from our founders 40 years ago, that it was about the people. It was about the individuals that come to work every day. You know, mm-hmm. one of our founders, I think, once said, the greatest asset of our company walks out in sneakers every day at the end of the day. And I think that has carried true. But you're right. It is a discipline. It's the rigor and discipline that goes into that inspection. And, you know, we've looked at a number of different sources of information, and we constantly examine those different sources of information, whether it's engagement surveys or external surveys and recognition that we receive, or information on a site like Glassdoor that might inform in a simple way, is there a crack there in the foundation? Is there an opportunity, or is there something that needs attention? And you're right, it is a discipline, but I think it's been part of who we are for, like I said, the 40 years that we've been a company.
So when you think about how you want your employees to live and to work, what's your conception for how you make real the value proposition of embracing the whole person and investing in who each individual is and what they can bring that's unique to them and that also enables them to live the kind of life that they want to lead?
Right, and I think you raise a very important point, Stu. And, you know, in order for people to do their best work, we need to support them as a whole person and integrating their work and life so they can bring their best selves to everything that we do. And one of the things that we're continuously reinforcing is around these well-being pillars that we have adopted from a book called Well-Being, the Five Essential Elements by co-authors Tom Rath and Jim Harder. And I don't know if you're familiar with that work, but these pillars are centered around career well-being, social well-being, financial well-being, community, and physical. And these, you know, these five pillars encourage people to understand their own level of well-being within each area of focus, because this can be something very much personal to the individual. How do I seek my own level of well-being? So it's about providing resources for people to explore that, a framework where people can better understand for themselves, you know, how they're doing against these different five areas of focus.
And you've also done some investment in some of the facilities that provide resources for people to take care of themselves. Do I have that right?
That's right. That's right. We're actually in the process. So our headquarters is in South San Francisco, California, and we're actually building an expanded employee center. And this center will actually house an expanded medical clinic that people can go get primary care services, preventative screenings. It'll house an expanded fitness center, so gym memberships are free to every Genentech employee here on campus. They can go in and at lunchtime, before work, after work, whatever's convenient for them. But also a career lab, and that's, you know, that's something unique that we do. We have
career lab in the wellness center.
An actual lab where people can explore their development desires, career development desires, aspirations. They can have one-on-one consultations with a career coach. So
that's cool. So that's a part of the wellness center?
It's part of this employee center, which is all kind of this anchor around well-being. But we're trying to touch upon each of these different five elements within this one center. But the biggest parts of it are going to be around physical well-being or physical well-being.
Right. Because that is just core to everyone's vitality and sustainable engagement, right?
Right. And I'd say for us specifically, you know, as we've been looking at this, in taking a particular look at a total healthcare management strategy for our organization, we found that this may surprise you, but as a healthcare company, we found that less than half of our employees were actually getting the preventative screenings that they should get. And one of the things that is challenging for that is people, you know, will say, we're too busy. We're too busy to go get the screening. So we're trying to put convenience in the equation. And if you can get to the employee center readily, it's easy for you, you know, quick, then we anticipate that we're actually going to see more adherence to people getting preventative screenings, as one example.
And, of course, that reduces your total healthcare cost structure, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I'd say that's not necessarily a major driver. It's more centered around improving the overall health of our employees. It's also centered around, you know, addressing the healthcare needs of employees. And, yeah, you're right. And so doing it could potentially reduce the overall cost.
I am speaking with Nancy Vitale, who's the Vice President of Human Resources for Genentech and Regional HR Head for Roche Pharma North America. Genentech is usually on the best places to work list, and we're discovering why that is. And it's this very serious and longstanding commitment to engaging people in a serious way through all kinds of programs and initiatives, but primarily through the culture and what the company stands for. So it's interesting. I actually wasn't surprised by the relatively low participation rate in the total healthcare offerings, because that's typical for many companies. So what else are you doing aside from convenience to ensure that people take advantage of health screenings and other such services?
Yeah, it's a good question, Stu. And, you know, there's a lot of different theories on how one can approach this notion of well-being and wellness. And, you know, as I said, the journey for each individual is very personal. And interestingly enough, I discovered my own journey last year and some of the challenges that I experienced. Last year, I was actually diagnosed with a very early-stage breast cancer, and it was caught during a routine mammogram screening. And early diagnosis is one key in treating a disease like cancer. Mm-hmm. And after a successful surgery, ongoing frequent screening, hormone therapy, I'm doing really well.
But glad to hear it.
Thank you. What this taught me, back to your question, is that, you know, my own cancer diagnosis made me think about our employees and ask, you know, this question about why aren't people putting as much time and energy into their own health as they do the health of the patients we serve, going back to the mission.
Yeah.
And, you know, this last year, we've taken on a renewed focus on this physical wellness component and people getting preventative screenings. And one of our efforts has been in people sharing their own stories and leaders talking about their own well-being.
Like
stories.
You just did.
And I just did with you, but I did with the masses at Genentech last year and in fact had a feature story on our company intranet. And and the point of me doing that was to spark action and to incent people, you know, by sharing my personal story and the impact that it's had on me, on them. Now, I don't have any data to say, you know, we've jumped up that number from 50% to 80%, but I think we're on a good trend. And anecdotally, I had an employee reach out to me and say, it was because you shared your story that I went in for an overdue mammogram. She was 3 years overdue, and something was uncovered. She was diagnosed with an early stage breast cancer, and she said, you know, you made a difference in at least one person's life. And
wow.
And that was the point.
That is the point. I want to stay on this topic, and we don't have that much more time left, but this is a topic that I want to take up in the next part of our show tonight, and that is, why do people undervalue their own health as a business issue? Because clearly you're helping to save your colleagues' life, as you did with the sharing of your story, is something that has all kinds of benefits for Genentech. Why is it that people are so reluctant to, you know, invest the time and energy that they need to take care of themselves?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think, you know, part of it centers around we get caught up in the day-to-day. And one of the frequent thing that we neglect is ourselves. It does take a commitment, you know, as a parent, as a partner, we're focused on others. As a leader, I'm focused on my employees. But I think what we neglect to realize is that fundamentally, the first person we should be taking care of is ourselves.
Right.
Because we'll have a lot more to offer to others.
Yes.
So, that's why I think sharing personal stories and being open about this as a topic and role modeling the behaviors that we desire is so important for us as leaders.
For sure. And And if you could just go a little bit further here, we've only got a couple minutes left, and in the next 30 seconds or so, what is the main inhibitor or barrier for people to take seriously their commitment to their own health? What do you see as the most important issue there in terms of, you know, employees?
Yeah, I mean, I think people will point to time or convenience, and that's part of our focus, and my hope is that other employers will focus on it as well. You know, how do you create convenience for people to take care of themselves? How do you create flexibility for people to take care of themselves? How do you expect that, you know, for people to take care of themselves, and how do you role model that? So those are the things, you know, when you talk about programs and offerings that can have a meaningful difference, is helping folks to just focus on that number one person, and that's themselves, for their health.
So important. And as I say, we're going to pick this up in the second part of our show, but in the last minute here, let me ask you, as you look to the future, what's most exciting to you as you think about how your company is going to evolve over the next 5 years in terms of its culture?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this year, as I said, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary, and it's an exciting year for us to kind of look and see what are the things that we need to continue to nurture. So 40 years of successful history, how do we continue to nurture those elements? But how do we also continue to evolve as an organization? And what's most exciting to me personally, as I think about our workforce, is how energized and passionate I know our people are about the company's mission. Going back to the first part of our conversation. And I see that growing with the evolving healthcare landscape. So for me, I'm excited about the possibilities as I think about our pipeline and, you know, making medicines that will help people facing some of these very, very daunting diseases.
Well, I know a lot of people have been watching you and will continue to look to your firm as an example and as an exemplar of how to produce a positive culture that has all kinds of positive benefits, not only for the employees, but for society as a whole. Nancy Vitale, thank you so much for joining me in this conversation this evening. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu. Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
We were speaking with Nancy Vitale, who's the Vice President of Human Resources for Genentech. What a great story here to hear about what this leading company is doing to produce a kind of organization that really does invest in people. Well, coming up, we're going to continue the conversation about why people do not take care of themselves at work and the cost of that and how to get past that. So I'll be taking your calls. The number, 844-942-7866. That's 844-WHARTON. And we're going to be talking about why it's so important to take care of yourself for you to be an effective employee, not to mention an effective member of your family and in your community, and how to break through the mindset that says you shouldn't do that. I am Stu Friedman. You're listening to Work and Life on Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School, Sirius XM 111. Stay with us.